Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Newell will be back middle of next week. I'm Dave Cohen. I'll be with you until then. We got kind of heavy last hour, and it is Friday, and I think we need a little break from all that. So we'll take a deep breath, and let's talk about sports. Jeff Nowak, our WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital producer, joins us on your Friday morning. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and I appreciate that talking about the Saints is not heavy. I like that idea. It's felt kind of heavy over the last couple of years.
No,
it's nice to know we're heading in a different direction.
It's not as heavy. Let's put it that
different
way.
Different kind of heavy. There's no weight. It's just a different kind of weight.
Yes, and it is very important to many, many people, obviously. So, and hopefully we're headed in the right direction. You've had the opportunity now through these OTAs, which they used to be off-season training activities. Kind of drives me crazy. They kept the same letters and changed the words because my brain has trouble with that. And so now it's it used to be
organized
team activities. Okay, because there is no off-season in the NFL, right?
Right.
And we're getting ready for mini camp. So what have we learned about this new coaching regime, about these new players, and what direction the Saints are heading?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because these first, over the past 3 weeks, we've been out to one practice each week. Next week, we'll be out to three in a row, and then we'll get into training camp where it's like drinking through a fire hose. Right now, it's like, we're trying to latch on to every detail we can find and report that out. And sometimes I think we make a bigger deal out of small things than we would if it happened a month from now. But, one thing that's been pretty clear and one thing that Kellen Moore, I think, has made an emphasis on is, team building, being involved, everyone kind of getting to know each other. And I think that's important for a first year head coach. And then, we saw him out at a community event, Peyton, as they refurbished a community center on Tuesday. He was out paintballing with the team. These aren't events that typically you'd see a head coach involved in. I don't know how many times Sean Payton went paintballing with the team. But, I think that's been a big part of this offseason is you're trying to establish a new culture because, for better or worse, the moment Kellen Moore walked in the building, the culture that was established by Sean Payton and that group was gone. That was the defining element of the Dennis Allen era is you tried to extend that culture and you did not. It failed. It broke apart. And that's something that Foster Morrow, when we talked to him in the locker room, yesterday, a guy that's not even practicing right now because he's coming back from an injury, he was like, I think one of the biggest misconceptions about sports is that like you have a culture and it lasts for decades and you never have to rebuild it. Like it can go from season to season. There's different rosters, different coaching staffs. You have to constantly be tending to that. And, and I think that's just been a big part of it is you're establishing something right now. And, In these practices where you're not hitting, you're not in pads, you're only doing 7-on-7 drills, kind of installing a lot of that and kind of setting the standard for how things are going to look is a lot more important than, okay, how many completions did the rookie quarterback have? Okay, what do you do here? What do you do here? That said, that's what we're there to talk about. So that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting point. And I don't remember ever Dennis Allen, Sean Payton, when they would bring the team to the water parks. I don't remember video of them going down the water slides. I don't remember when they would do these other activities. And I don't know. That doesn't mean they didn't. I don't know how involved they were in those activities they did for team building. But we know that Moore was out there with the paintballs and the guns and having fun with the guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, in 2006, Twitter wasn't exactly a thing, so we didn't have the access that we have now to know whether Sean was out there. I do think it's a new coach thing. When you're getting established with a group, you know, this is a entire 90-man roster that was not, you know, some of these players may have been coached by some of these guys before, but this group has never been coached by these guys before. So you're kind of learning in real time. All that said, you know, OTAs are interesting as well because they're optional, right? So you're not seeing the entire roster out there. If you guys haven't been there at all, Alvin Kamara hasn't been there. Tyrann Mathieu hasn't been there. Taysom Hill hasn't been there. He's dealing with an injury and isn't expected to be on the field anytime soon. You know, Cam Jordan wasn't out there for the last two sessions. So, you know, it's a lot of young players kind of figuring things out. And that's what, you know, the mandatory minicamp is a little bit more interesting because you will see guys like Alvin Kamara for the first time. And it's also a situation where, you know, if there was anything bubbling under the surface with any of these veteran players and they did want to, you know, hold out for whatever reason, that's when you would find out about it. I don't think that's going to be the case, but that's always like that first time taking attendance at minicamp is notable because if someone's not there, it means that they are either holding out or they're dealing with injuries. Like minicamp was when we learned last year that Tano Passanio tore his Achilles in an off-season workout because he wasn't out there and, you know, he ended up missing a majority of the season. So, you know, it is what it is. Like we just have a lot more, you know, insight into what the teams are doing off the field than we ever did maybe 10 years ago or even like 5 years ago. The amount of content that's being put out by the teams in these behind the scenes events is a lot more significant. And I think it's just, you know, even this year alone, we're seeing more. And I think that part of that is you're trying to build excitement and interest in this new coaching regime.
Yeah, and I think that's there. I mean, I think it's palpable, and it we can feel it. But I think also you mentioned the players who did not show up for these team-building activities and for these non-mandatory workouts, and people tend to want to read something into that a lot. Should they? Should we be concerned about the players who are healthy, who didn't show up for the first practices with this brand-new coach and everything they're trying to build out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd like to see everyone there for at least one session. Like, you know, Chase Young was only at one of them, but he was at one of them. You know, Alvin Kamara has never been a guy that showed up at OTAs, at least not in the last several years. And obviously when he was a rookie, a young player, he was there. But it's, you know, it's just how these guys choose to go about their offseason. I was surprised not to see Tyrann more than anybody else. You know, he's a guy who, you know, in the past probably wouldn't attend all three, but would be there at one. We didn't see him. So, you know, I'm sure he may have some mitigating circumstances. And that's part of the reason that I don't make a big deal about absences until I get a reason for them. Because, you know, there could be some very good reasons why guys aren't here. You know, Alvin, I know, took a trip to Africa. It's just not part of his off-season routine. And at the end of the day, we're talking about 9 practices, no contact, no pads. It's a lot more about young players, new players installing stuff. And so the veteran players who, you know, it's a new offense this year, so that's a little different. But, you know, you're not worried about Tyrann Mathieu, Alvin Kamara showing up to camp in shape and ready to go. So it's something to talk about, but I don't think it's a big deal.
So what is a big deal? What do you think we need to be talking about at this point in the evolution of this new black and gold team?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a lot of the stuff we've talked about over the last few weeks, right? So you have Trevor Penning taking over at left guard, which, you know, I talked to him about that yesterday. It's good to see that he's invested in it. You know, I think a lot of times when you have guys who are asked to play a different position than the one you came into the league as, you know, he came in as a tackle, he was drafted as a tackle, a new coaching staff comes in. You know, last year you said, hey, we're going to move you to right tackle. It's not a position you've really played, but we want to put you there because we feel like the guy we're going to put at left tackle is better. So that's a little humbling. And then another coaching staff comes in and says, hey, we want to change your position completely and have you play guard. And I think there could be some ego involved there. I don't think that's the way Trevor's approaching it at all. I think he's excited about it. You know, we talked to him yesterday and I was a little surprised. He was like, hey, I think I'm better at guard than I am at tackle. I think my skill set works here better. And that's not something you typically would hear from someone who's getting told we want to change your position to something you haven't really done at the NFL level. So I think that's a good approach. And I think it's true. I think his physicality will work well at that position. You're going to be lined up in between two other guys. So one of Trevor Penning's biggest issues so far in his career has been dealing with space, right? Like when he gets out in the run game, when he's able to kind of make contact with the opponent, he's very strong. He can, you know, manipulate that guy in ways that are positive for him. His issue has always been he gets kind of lost in space, tries to catch the rush, and then it just doesn't work for him. He gets driven back too far. At guard, you can be the aggressive player, and that's what he's excited about. And so I'm looking forward to seeing him out there. It's just tough because at this point in the offseason, and, you know, Devon Godshaw talked about this as well yesterday, it's like this isn't really football for those guys. The wide receivers, the cornerbacks, the quarterbacks, they can at least simulate something like football, even though there's no hitting, there's no pads. You know, you can at least still run routes, still work on defensive back techniques, stuff like that. But the offensive line, defensive line, unless you're able to go out there and manhandle somebody, you're really not being able to do
your job.
You're
pretty much
just
standing there.
Exactly. So that's
a placeholder,
lot of it. Yeah, exactly. And then you're learning stuff. You're picking up stuff. I think for Trevor, is going to be a lot of footwork that he needs to work on that he can really get in on right now. But we won't really know how he's going to handle this switch to guard until the pads come on. That said, I was surprised to hear he did play guard a lot in high school. He played guard in his first year at Northern Iowa. So he does have some experience at that position. You know, at guard, you're going to have to pull a lot. That's a big thing that he's going to have to figure out. He is athletic. I think it's going to be an opportunity for him to get out in space. So, you know, I think if he works out there, then this offensive line is in great shape. And it's really just a matter of whether they can stay healthy.
We're talking with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital producer. You can read a lot more of Jeff's thoughts, analysis, and reporting at WWL.com. And we'll find out more about his podcast for you coming up in a minute, too. You may want to check that out to learn more from what Jeff has been able to observe, see, and analyze from this new Saints team. When we come back, we'll talk about the quarterback position because obviously that gets all the attention and who he thinks will ultimately end up starting at quarterback for this Saints team. And are we talking about a team that's going to be immediately successful? Can this team, with all these changes, this new coach and everything else, come in and suddenly make a big splash? Or are we talking about having to deal with a rebuilding year? We'll get Jeff's thoughts. Welcome yours. Questions, thoughts, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line as together we celebrate Friday.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference.
According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Newell likes to do a free filter, no filter Friday, so that's option for you. Anything you want to talk about today throughout the show, if you want to grab a line, feel free. Hit 504-260-1870. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell. Right now, our guest is Jeff Nowak, our WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital producer. He's gone through 3 weeks of the Saints having these voluntary team activities and practices. Minicamp is right around the corner. When does minicamp get started, Jeff?
We don't have an official schedule quite yet. I could look up the dates, but we don't know the time. Or actually, I think we do. They're going to be open to the public. I can look that up for you in a second. I haven't moved to next week yet.
Yeah, I understand. You're still digesting these 3 weeks, and sorry for throwing you a curveball. It was not my intention.
That's all right.
But I did say I was going to ask you about the quarterback. So what's it looking like at QB right now for the black and gold?
Yeah, so right now we're seeing Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck primarily kind of splitting first team reps. We did actually see Hunter Deckers throw a few reps. He got four total reps the first time yesterday, UDFA out of Iowa State. It's actually kind of funny because, and I'm sure we'll see this out at minicamp, Hunter Deckers is a lefty. And so if you've ever been to a Saints practice, you'll see them throwing routes on air. Well, there's almost always two of those quarterbacks out there. You have one guy throwing to the left side of the field, one guy throwing to the right side of the field. Well, because Deckers is a lefty, you can put him out there on the opposite side of those other guys and have him throw the opposite direction. And you actually have three guys throwing at the same time with one guy throwing down the middle of the field. So just kind of an interesting thing. And Kellen has talked about, like, he likes to maximize efficiency at his practices. I think that's just a good example of that.
But no, do you remember another southpaw at quarterback for the Saints in recent history?
I think Nussmeier was a lefty. Right. I'd have to look, but it's you don't see a lot of lefty quarterbacks, and there's a reason because it changes a lot. You know, your left tackle suddenly becomes your right tackle, right? In terms of the blind side, when you roll players out, you typically want to roll them to the ball side with a lefty that flips. Falcons have a left-handed quarterback in Michael Penix, and Tua Tagovailoa is a lefty as well, so it happens, just not as common. Anyway, the ball spins the opposite way. It's like the Southern Hemisphere.
Steve Young, Boomer Esiason, and there have been some very successful lefties, but guys who you knew were your starter, and you built that line around them and everything else around them, so you made those adjustments on the front end.
It's an adjustment. But, the two guys that we're going to end up talking about a lot are Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler. Jake Haener is also in the mix, but he's not throwing right now. He's dealing with an oblique injury. And so, you've seen some interesting things from both of those guys. Yesterday was red zone. They did all their reps from the 20-yard line and in. I thought Spencer Rattler had a really good day. I think he was 6 for 8, 3 touchdowns would have been thrown. He's a little bit more decisive, a little bit more confident. Tyler had a really nice throw to Juwan Johnson on kind of a sail route for what would have been a touchdown. But that drill was a good one to see, you're a rookie quarterback who's kind of figuring things out versus a second-year quarterback who looks a lot more confident in compressed spaces than the rookie. And, what I've seen so far is I don't see Tyler attacking the middle of the field much. And I think that's a young quarterback thing. It's just the timing over the middle of the field is just a little bit harder to gauge than the timing on the edges where, you have a little bit more wiggle room and you can throw the ball high and you can give guys, space to go make a play and not have to worry about it getting intercepted. Over the middle of the field, you really want to keep the ball lower on target so you're not putting guys in bad positions. You worry about more tips and overthrows. And I just haven't seen him attack the middle of the field. We have seen him go deep and throw some really nice routes down the sidelines. But I think that's just something that I'd like to see more of from Tyler over the course of this camp is to get him a little more comfortable throwing to all levels of the field. Right now, I think he's making good decisions. He's being safe with the ball, but and Kellen Moore kind of talked about this yesterday. Camp is not when you should be afraid of making mistakes. You don't want to go into practice and never be aggressive and never try things out, because this is where you want to make those mistakes and then you can correct them. You don't want to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. That's a problem. But being mistake kind of conscious and being afraid to make certain throws is also a problem. So I think that's kind of just a learning curve for young players coming to the NFL, where you want to be perfect. You want to complete all your passes.
Especially if you're competing for a position, yeah.
Exactly. But you do, at the same time, you do want to kind of test your limits and figure things out. So that's kind of what I want to see from him, is to be a little bit more aggressive in the middle of the field. Right now, I'd put Spencer Rattler ahead, just because I think he's the more confident guy right now. If I had to pick a guy right now, it would be him.
All right, so if you were picking, it'd be him, but you're not picking. So who do you think that Kellen Moore is picking?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, because if I'm trying to base this on what I've seen, I don't really have an answer beyond, you know, today, this is what I would do. If I'm trying to predict the future, I do think it's going to be Rattler, assuming he's on the roster. Assuming, you know, I think there's going to be a situation where, hey, you know, if a quarterback goes down somewhere else and the Saints have three young quarterbacks that two of them have started games, maybe that's a conversation to be had. But if Rattler's on the roster, I see him being the starter week one, just because it gives you a probably better chance to win. And if that doesn't happen, then you can make that switch. I'd much rather be in that situation where I don't put all the pressure on the rookie quarterback in week one if I don't have to. That said, if Tyler comes out in camp and looks far and away the better quarterback, then sure, go with him week
plenty
one.
Plenty of time. Yeah, we've got, right, what, I think 90-some-odd days till the first game of the season. So.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. Now, and I appreciate your honesty in explaining that to us, because I think that's very interesting and I think surprising to some of the listeners, because a lot of people think, no, Shuck's the guy. They pick Shuck. They're going with Shuck. They want Shuck. They're his, you know, he's their guy. But hopefully they do go with who gives them the best chance to win. Do you see this?
Well, I do think Shuck is the guy eventually, right? I'm only saying week one, I think it's up for debate, but you draft Tyler Shuck at number 40 overall because you intend to give him a chance. Spencer could take that job and never give it back, but the plan will be a bridge, right, if you go with Spencer.
Gotcha. All right. The Saints finished last in the NFC South last year. Expectations, where should we put them? Is this a situation where they're building to go from worst to first, or is that not a realistic expectation in today's NFL?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. You know, in any league, I think the NFL is where you can potentially go from worst to first. We see it all the time. It's a league that is designed to keep everyone in the middle of the pack. You don't typically see, you know, the type of variance that we saw last year, where there was a
parity.
Lot of, there was several really good teams. Yeah, and then like a bunch of really bad teams. You know, in situations where you go from worst to first, you're typically benefiting from a weak schedule, and that's what the Saints have. They play the NFC South, and then they play a lot of fourth place teams. So they probably will back into a few wins, even if they're not, you know, a playoff caliber team this year, just because they have veteran players. They have a coaching staff and a front office that is always invested in winning, even when it might be more profitable from a talent perspective to not win. And when it comes down to getting a higher pick, they're never going to be the team that gets accused of tanking. It's just not what they're going to do. So I don't know. I think you kind of just have to go into it with an open mind. I think 7 wins is where I would land right now. If you get some good injury luck, if guys deliver, if you have a quarterback that shows up that you feel like you can build around, then maybe you can lift that projection. But I think it's all kind of gravy at the end of the day, because to me, regardless of what the win-loss record is at the end of this season, if you come out of it feeling like you have your quarterback of the future, then that's a win, right? And if
Absolutely.
You come out of it with that and also a top 10 pick, then that's a win that you can then build around. And it's all about the trajectory coming out of this season. I think putting too much weight on a specific record and saying, if you don't get to this number, it's a failure, I think that would be the wrong approach.
How can folks listen to your podcast, Jeff?
Yeah, anywhere you get your podcast, called Inside Black and Gold. We haven't got a chance to record our post OTA edition yet. Steve and I are going to be on 3 to 7 or 4 to 7 today. And we're going to come back on Monday and record a longer episode. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff.
And, of course, we make it real easy at WWL.com. Jeff Nowak, enjoy the weekend. So much sports going on this weekend. We got NBA and NHL finals, the Belmont Stakes. That's got a lot of drama around it. And then, of course, LSU and the College Baseball Super Regionals. We're going to shift gears and talk to Todd Walker coming up about LSU after this. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Have a great weekend.
For sure, Dave, you too.
Jeff Nowak here on WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.